Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
I hope that you had a good weekend. I have time to say that, right? I hope that you had a great weekend and enjoyed some spring sunshine wherever you were. Except for those of you who've had spring for weeks and weeks and months and months. Well, then I don't feel so bad for you if it rained or something. I actually finally have little green growth on some of my bushes to start the spring. And some of my flowers are just barely showing buds. So I'm very excited. Not so excited that the half marathon is not even a week away. I don't think I'm ready, but I'm in denial right now. So not thinking about that part of my spring. There's a lot to get to between now and then. So here's the deal. I want you to weigh in. I want to hear from you, and I'll do my best to hit as much as I possibly can. But you know what? We have a few days where we can kind of digest before we get to the NFL draft. And then, of course, all bets are off and the NFL becomes the behemoth in the center ring of the circus yet again. So let's dive in. After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio and the CBS Sports app, or you can listen on Sirius XM channel 206. I was on my way to the airport with it may be my last ever Uber ride. And my driver was very nice because I talk to all my drivers. I'm that rider. I'm that person. So my driver somehow mentioned his satellite radio. I'm not exactly sure how we got on the conversation, but he was just talking about the way he spends his days. And he mentioned his satellite radio. So of course I volunteered the information that we are on channel 206. And wouldn't you know, this great man, older man, was very excited. He right away programmed 206 into his radio. I think Adam the Bull was on at the time. So we flipped to 206 and he saw CBS Sports Radio display and then saved it and promised that he would listen on his early morning runs to O'Hare, which is kind of cool. So I think I got us one new fan on the show. If we hit one new fan, one new listener per day, that's not bad, right? Eventually those add up. So Sirius XM channel 206. And then you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And even as we dive in, here's what I want from you. Speaking about the playoffs now, because there's lots of other stuff too. There's baseball history we have to get to. But speaking specifically about hoops and hockey and the first round, we've got two series left in hockey. Hoops was in my brain and somehow hockey came out my mouth. That could happen a lot on this particular show. So you might have to just shake your head and say, I know what she meant. So we've got two series left on the ice and all but one series left in basketball. So there's a lot of potential for game sevens. And for those of you who follow me on Twitter, every now and then I'll drop in the there's some potential for game sevens. And typically I will use the hashtag chicks dig drama or I love game sevens or something like that. So this is what I live for this time of the year. I just want winner take all drama. So what I'm asking you is, with the two series left on the ice and all but the one series still alive, even the old Spurs are still kicking, which of these first round series would you most like to see go to a game seven? We've had some good stuff, some tug of wars, some great back and forth. Right now in the Eastern Conference in the NBA, we've got three series tied at two. You know what they say, the critical, the pivotal, the ever important game fives are still to come. So, yeah, that's the question that I want you to answer. Plus, you can send me your candidates for Monday MVP. So on Twitter or on Facebook, and then our phone number is 855-212-4227. We're inside the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. It's almost impossible to know where to begin. How about we begin with the last game? All right, so there was a late basketball game that a lot of people were pretty excited about, because here you've got the Indiana Pacers, I believe, ahead of schedule, and I kind of feel like that's generally accepted about this group of Pacers. After trading away Paul George to Oklahoma City, this was looked at as a potential rebuilding year. It didn't mean they were going to plummet to the bottom of the East, but kind of a year in which they would figure out what they have. They changed some personnel in their front office too. So how did this come together so quickly? Well, that's a question I'll have to ask of Quinn Buckner when he joins us half hour from now. This is a guy that I remember from the 80s when I fell in love with the NBA. He was part of the Boston Celtics championship season in 83-84. He spent most of his career with the Bucks, but he did also play with the Pacers. So he's a longtime NBA guard. He coached. Now he is the TV analyst for the Pacers, but also their VP of communications. And I'm really excited about him joining us. So I'll ask him, how did this come together so quickly? Here were the Pacers on Sunday night attempting to go up 3-1 on the defending Eastern Conference champs. Now, LeBron, we knew he would come out like a house on fire. He did that in the first half. He had 23. But he also got some help. So this wasn't just about LeBron James. It wasn't just about him taking over and having his way. The Pacers fought their way back into this game with a strong third quarter, and it actually did go down to the wire.
Rebounded by Smith. Out come the Cavaliers. 3:50 remains. LeBron finds Love right side off the Korver in the corner for a three. Knocks it down. 8 to shoot. LeBron at the top of the key. In on Turner to the basket. Double clutches. He lights it up and in. LeBron with the left hand. He now has 30 points. He's giving the Cavaliers a 96-93 lead with 2:55 to go. LeBron slowly walks over the timeline into the forecourt down to our left. He'll relay to Korver. Left side. Catch and shoot three. Hey! Nailed it. Korver with a couple of triples here in this fourth quarter. It's a two-possession game. Here goes LeBron, spins down the lane, lays it up and lays it in. He roared right around Bogdanovich to give the Cavaliers a 101-95 lead. He missed the second. Bogdanovich rebound. No foul here for the Cavaliers. Bogdanovich going to try to draw a foul on Korver. Fires a three. He missed it. LeBron tips it. LeBron grabs it. And LeBron and the Cavaliers have won game four and have evened this series at 2 games apiece.
But I've always talked about the best teacher in life is experience, and we was able to experience that in game three and not just falter like we did in game three tonight when they made a run. We still made shots, we still executed, and we're still able to close out a quarter. You know, not as great as we would like to, but we didn't lose the lead. And, you know, they went up one with Booker's free throws in the fourth quarter. But after that, we was just able just to kind of stay at bay, continue to execute, and continue to play.
LeBron mentions game number three, in which the Pacers rallied from 17 points down to win on their own court. Well, this time it didn't happen. Not only did he have a good stretch late to finish with 32 points, 13 rebounds, 7 assists, but you hear those two massive triples from Kyle Korver with John Michael on the Cavaliers radio network. Another thing the Cavs did well, they defended well against Victor Oladipo, and where he had hit some circus shots, some extremely difficult shots in the first several games, he was only 5 of 20 from the floor in game 4. Now, there were 7 different Pacers who were in double digits. The big men, extremely productive, like Thaddeus Young. And all of these games, you can see it, every time they step on the court, are extremely physical. So Lance Stephenson, he loves to be the human troll. I mean, this is a guy who is trying to egg on LeBron James and is trying to get Jeff Green to lose his cool. It's fine. That's what he does. I mean, you know, there's one of those players in every crowd. Matthew Dellavedova played that role for the Cavaliers just a few years ago, where, you know, you wouldn't call him dirty, but you would just say that he does everything he possibly can to get under your skin. And obviously there's a history between Lance Stephenson and between LeBron James. So Lance, understands that there is a way to get to him, which I love. And so now we've got a tie series. The Pacers have given the home court advantage back to the Cavaliers in this 4-5 matchup, and game five will be on the shores of Lake Erie. So I love the tough and physical play, and for the most part, I feel like the referees are allowing these guys to duke it out. That's the kind of basketball that I fell in love with in the 80s. So Quinn Buckner will join us about 25 minutes from now. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The other game, there were so many games that I enjoyed this weekend. The other game in the East that I felt like was one of the best games of the playoffs so far was game four between the Wizards and the Raptors. And we'll get to that coming up. We'll talk more about the East. But just to kind of put a neat little bow on the Eastern side of things, as I ask you about game sevens, we've got three of the four series in the East that are now 2-2. And the Wizards and the Bucks were both in 0-2 holes, right? So the Wizards against the top seed in the East, Milwaukee against the 2 seed in Boston, both those teams went home down 0-2, and both of them made very strong statements and were able to even the series by winning in front of raucous, friendly fans. And so we'll talk about those series coming up in a few minutes. But the other series that, or the other game on Sunday that I feel like was just so indicative of the type of team that they are, the San Antonio Spurs, staving off elimination. Now, they may not come back and win the series against Golden State, but the fact that they are still playing without Greg Popovich, who is mourning the loss of his wife, and I'm glad taking some time away from his from basketball to be with his family. The fact that this team is still without its top player, and the fact that you've got a 40-year-old guard who is serving as your closer, not to mention Tony Parker, who isn't quite 40, but a guy who has played more postseason games than almost anyone else in NBA history. I mean, you're talking about this ragtag band of merry men that essentially it has a major disparity when it comes to athleticism and firepower compared to the Golden State Warriors. And yet the grit and the heart and the fire in San Antonio, and man alive, did I love to see Manu Ginobili just wave the banner for the old guys yet again, because you know 40 is the new 30. So there's a lot to talk about there too. The Spurs are still down 3-1. Again, they may not win another game, and this series may be over with the Warriors in game five, which actually isn't a bad thing for Golden State, and I'll tell you why. But to see Manu in what may very well be his last game ever in San Antonio, it was awesome. And I was rooting for the Spurs to get a win. So there's a lot there. I get it. So we'll talk about the other two series in the East. We'll also hit the Spurs' victory over the Warriors and why it wasn't such a bad thing for Golden State. There's a lot to talk about. So if I haven't gotten to your favorite team or the series that you most want to hear about, I will. In the meantime, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, what is the series, whether the two in hockey, there are two Eastern Conference series still going on in hockey, or whether the blah, 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 what are there, seven still alive in basketball. What first round series would you most like to see go to a game seven? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Patty takes the left side. Now to Aldridge at the top. Aldridge leans it against Green. Has to do something in a hurry. Throws one up. And that one banked in from downtown L.A. Aldridge banks in a three. And the Spurs lead 93-86. Manu out near midcourt to the jump circle. Screen by Aldridge. Ginobili cuts right. Drives on Draymond Green. Stops in the lane. Leans in. Turnaround jumper. Good. Manu Ginobili with the basket. The Spurs lead by 10, 100-90. LaMarcus Aldridge grabs the defensive rebound, and the Spurs can put this one in the back pocket. There will be no sweep in San Antonio. Murray front court right. With 35 seconds to go, he's going to drive on Thompson. In the lane, left wing, Mills, left corner, Ginobili for three. That's a Manu Tres! From Patty Mills, Manu Ginobili with a three-pointer from the left corner. Spurs lead by 13 with 20 seconds remaining in the game.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It was attack mode for the Spurs. And early on, they got plenty of help from the Warriors' turnovers. But even when Golden State cut down on those giveaways in the second half, and even though the Warriors out-rebounded San Antonio 61-34, do you know that Golden State had nearly as many offensive rebounds as San Antonio had total rebounds? It was crazy. I'm not sure I've ever seen a disparity that large in an NBA game. Anyway, the Spurs were money from downtown, and Manu Ginobili scored 10 of his 16 points in the fourth quarter. I think 16 being fitting, since this is his 16th season, and this might have been his last game in front of the hometown fans. We don't know yet. He says he'll reevaluate, as he has after the last couple of seasons, to determine whether or not he wants to keep playing into his 40s. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Bill Schoening with the calls on the Spurs radio network. So LaMarcus Aldridge had this crazy turnaround bank three with 4:22 left in the game. And you kind of got the feeling that, man, if that can go in, well, pretty much anything can go in for San Antonio. And then there's this driving, faking, flipping shot by Manu over the top of LeBron James. Plus, he tacks on a three late, and then you just knew it was the Spurs day. LaMarcus finished with 22 and 10. Kevin Durant was unstoppable, but he didn't have a whole lot of help from the Warriors. However, help could be on the way. Here's why it's not such a bad thing that this series is going to go at least one more game. Because the Pelicans are already waiting. Right, so they've swept their opponent, the Blazers. That's the game that's, or that's the series that's over in the first round in the NBA, which is a stunner. But regardless, that one's done, and the Pelicans await the winner of this series. But the Warriors wouldn't mind having a couple extra days to get Steph Curry ready to go. He is expected to return for their second round series against the Pelicans if they get to that point. So, okay, it takes a couple extra days, and he has a couple extra days to be able to rest that knee and make sure the knee and the ankle are lined up and ready to go. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio and on Facebook and on Twitter, A-Law Radio. What is the Game 7 you would most like to see from the first round series that are still alive and kicking? I would love to see a Spurs Game 7 against the Warriors. It's not likely to happen, but, I mean, sign me up for that. Greg Popovich might return then, and who doesn't want to see Manu Ginobili with more of these crazy fist pumps and just these guttural yells? He would have another chance to play in front of the fans in San Antonio then, too. How about on the Eastern Conference, where the Milwaukee Bucks punched the Celtics in the mouth on Friday night. I mean, first quarter, punched them, and then stole their lunch money while they were laying on the ground. It was a total beatdown. And I don't know that the Celtics recovered until second half of game number four on Sunday. So the Celts actually clawed their way back from 20 points down in Sunday's game four in Milwaukee. And so this was one incredible finish, maybe a little bit too dramatic for Bucks fans, but it went down to the wire. And wouldn't you know, there's a tip-in from the long arm of the law with about 5 seconds left. So Giannis Antetokounmpo is able to reach up and over pretty much everybody else on the court. We already know that he is, in fact, a freak of nature, and that's a compliment. So he's able to kind of reach up and tip the ball in, and with that, the Bucks avoid disaster. And I don't just mean because they would have been down 3-1. I mean because this one would have been a gut punch, kind of in response to the way they punched the Celtics in the face in game number three. And so the Celtics maybe finally recovered in that second half, and they were able to get their sea legs back under them and kind of remember what this is all about. Jaylen Brown with 34 points, also 18 for Jason Tatum. But the Bucks defensively pose a major issue. I love this nerd alert from the Milwaukee Bucks. On Friday night, they set a franchise record in block shots. They had 13. Do you know on Sunday, they upped that by one. So now they have a new franchise record, 14 block shots in one game. Exactly. Exactly. That's what I said. So here they go into, you know, the critical, pivotal, uber important game number five back in Boston.
Same mindset we had coming in into this game. It was just good to see it carry over in that second half. Now we got to take that same fight for game five, and we got to come out victorious at all costs.
It's not necessarily a bad thing for the young Celtics like Jaylen Brown that you hear there, as well as Jason Tatum, to have a little extra experience in this first round. I mean, certainly they want to win, and yeah, it'd be nice to be able to have the 3-1 lead, but for them to be in these kinds of games with the sense of urgency and the intensity, especially for Jason Tatum, who hasn't been in that before in the NBA, and even Jaylen, I mean, he's only 21 years old. I know this is his second year, but this is the kind of stuff, the experiences that they're going to need to draw on as they advance in the postseason and as they come up against teams that have more playoff experience than what they do. So, yeah, there's a lot of potential for game sevens all over the place. We'll get to some of the hockey as well, though. A couple of the series are now over. The Nashville Predators, they were able to get that first series under their belts, right? So the President's Trophy winners, they've been on a mission all season long after reaching the Stanley Cup final and losing to Pittsburgh last June. So they got that first series behind them. They came out. You want to talk about a house on fire. That was the Predators in their game six against the Colorado Avalanche. And they left no room for doubt. In fact, Pecorino only had to make 22 saves because they controlled the puck so much. So a 5-0 shutout there. And then, as I mentioned, the champs. Oh, my goodness. Jake Guentzel, who's in his second year as a member of the Penguins, had his second career playoff hat trick. In fact, he had 4 goals in a row. That's nutso. He was so good. Who needs Sidney Crosby when you have Jake Guentzel? Though Sidney's always a part of that, and Peter Schwartz is here in studio. 6 goals in this series for Jake, and so we just talked about playoff experience with some of the young Celtics, but it's the same thing for Guentzel. The fact that he was part of a Stanley Cup winner a year ago and in such critical situations, this is old hat to him.
It sure is. And he burst on the scene last year. And it's interesting in the Stanley Cup playoffs how guys you never hear of before sometimes become star. Look at the whole Vegas team. I mean, these were cast-offs from other teams. And, you know, Marc-Andre Fleury comes over there from the Penguins. And look what they're doing. So it's kind of surprising but not surprising when you see a guy like Guentzel, you know, perform like this in the playoffs. It's interesting to see.
It would be. Now, I'm not saying this is how it's going to happen, or even that I wanted to, just that it would be fascinating if it were the Penguins who got back there from the East and it was the Knights from the West, not only facing Marc-Andre Fleury, but James Neal.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, he's been a huge part of Vegas this year, too. I mean, it's really an incredible story what they were able to do. George McPhee is, I mean, if he doesn't win Executive of the Year, then they should
burn
the trophy, because he's got to win. For him to put that team together, make the deals he did. Because remember, a lot of that expansion draft, wheeling and dealing, involved getting draft picks for the future, too. So not only did they get guys that are their core players now, but you know, they made moves for the future, too. And they really did it amazing. And they had to. The NHL had to have a successful expansion team after some of the problems they've had in the last few years.
Still exceeding all and any expectations.
I think your team's going to beat them.
My team?
Yeah.
The San Jose Sharks?
Yes.
I would love it, but I would feel bad because I love this run that Vegas is on to my heart. Okay, really quickly, I just have like 15 seconds since we have a guest, but what's the game seven you'd most like to see in this first round?
Bruins Maple Leafs.
Bruins Maple Leafs. That's been a good series.
It's been a really good series.
All right. So straight ahead, Quinn Buckner, who's a former NBA champion as well as a coach, now is the VP of Communications for the Pacers, their TV analyst. He will join us after this game 4 between Cavs and Pacers in Indiana. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
LeBron slowly walks over the timeline into the forecourt down to our left. He'll relay to Korver, left side, catch and shoot 3. Hey! Nailed it. Korver with a couple of triples here in this fourth quarter. It's a 2-possession game. Cavaliers 99, Pacers 95.
We talk about being calm out there, being poised, and being clear about what we want to do on both ends of the floor. and playing connected basketball. You know, so those are the things we need to do. We need to calm down and execute when we're out on the floor, and we need to be connected. You play that game together, and you play for each other. And I didn't think that we were connected out there tonight.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Not often that you hear a head coach say his team needs to calm down, but that's the word from Nate McMillan. We weren't connected out there in game four that the Cavaliers won. They survived 104-100. John Michael with the call on the Cavaliers radio network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Really excited now to head to Indianapolis and spend some time with former NBA champ and coach, and now the VP of communications for the Pacers, also serves as their TV analyst on Fox Sports Indiana, Quinn Buckner joining us on the show. And Quinn, this game was double figures for much of the first half, followed by this really strong third quarter from Indiana to get the Pacers back into it. So in the end, what did this game come down to?
Well, LeBron got help tonight. I mean, he started them off well, which I thought was going to be important and something that he would do. And then they got some bench support. Clarkson played a huge part of it. I even saw LeBron pat him on the head when he went out. You know, just like the young fellas come in and help. Larry Nance is always very active. But then they were able to get some plays. In addition, Korver, who had really struggled, didn't make a three-pointer, didn't make any baskets at all in the last contest, started knocking down three-point shots, and they were able to get some guys free. But at the end, you still, once you start getting threes made, even when Bogdanović tried to stay in front of LeBron, it's a lot harder to do when you got to be concerned about people in the corner shooting three-pointers. So I really thought that was what made the difference. Korver makes some, Love made some, and at that point, you got LeBron, and LeBron one-on-one with anybody is a tough matchup, and he just took advantage of it.
And there were seven different Pacers who were in double figures, but Victor Oladipo had a tough shooting night. Did you see anything different that the Cavaliers did against him defensively?
No, they really did the same thing. What they would do is if there was a pick and roll and it was with a big, they would just trap him to get the ball out of his hand. And if not, it was with LeBron, they were switching it. So he ended up in the situations where he was throwing the ball to other people, and or if he had to shoot it, he's got to shoot it over LeBron. He just didn't make shots. You know, if you've been around this for a while, Amy, it's a make-or-miss league. If you don't make shots, then things just don't work out. And he didn't make shots.
The Pacers, they're obviously in a good spot here, even though they've lost the home court, which they had grabbed by winning in Cleveland. When you look overall at these four games, it seems as though the Cavaliers, when they speed it up, when they're uber aggressive, when they can get the pace the way that they want it, they have more success. When the Pacers are successful, what does it look like, Quinn?
It's the same thing. When the Pacers are successful, first, both sides have to make shots. But when the Pacers can get the pace up, they're much better. This is the way it's been all year long. But the difference is, you know, you got a solid nine-man rotation with the Pacers that can allow that to happen. When the Cavs don't have that pace, part of the reason they don't have that pace is Clarkson is one of their most athletic players. So they get him out on the floor, and if he's making baskets, he pushes the ball up and gives them a chance to get some pace going. J.R. Smith got some shots going. But you get a whole different kind of game when you get support from the bench, and they got support from the bench tonight.
We're spending a few minutes with the VP of Communications and a TV analyst for the Indiana Pacers, also a former NBA champion guard. It's Quinn Buckner with us After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. So, Quinn, this is a Pacers team that had a lot of changes, a bunch of different pieces kind of inserted, and I think there was this idea that Indiana might use this as more of a rebuilding year. Why did it come together so quickly?
Well, for a number of reasons. One, Thaddeus Young, who was with the Pacers last year, I thought did a great job, has done a great job so far in terms of his leadership. But I do think that Victor Oladipo and Domantas Sabonis have come in and been solid for this team. And I think, you know, obviously with Victor making the All-Star team, you get a heck of a player in that. But Victor is also a humble player, so he shares the wealth. And what I've seen with this team and been blessed enough to do all of the games this year, what he does is he makes sure that everybody else is a part of what's going on. And they pull for each other. They care for each other. It's a chemistry thing. It really is. I mean, they legitimately care for each other. Victor has been at the forefront. But, you know, Bogdanovich has had his role. You get Darren Collison. He's been added. Mm-hmm. As is Corey Joseph, who's been toughened at Toronto and San Antonio. So he's got some things going for him. So it was put together with the thought that the team, you want to see what the team could do when it got into difficult situations and find out those players who you want to keep going down the road. I think Kevin Pritchard and Donnie Walsh, Chad Buchanan, and Peter Dinwiddie have done a very good job. And Larry Bird is in the background doing things as well. But they've done a very good job of getting guys that just know how to play and are willing to play the right way. And the interesting thing about the right way is I listened to Nate McMillan, the coach of the Pacers tonight. He didn't feel like the team played the right way. He felt like there's some guys that felt like they needed to take shots, sometimes a big shot, and they didn't get it to go. And that is not the hallmark of this team. This team has played very well together and normally made some good choices. But, again, you miss shots, and a lot of these things start to come to the forefront.
I hadn't heard that about Larry, my all-time favorite athlete. What is he doing behind the scenes?
Larry is still a confidant for Kevin Pritchard. That's because Larry is an Indiana guy anyway, and Herb Simon, our owner, has great confidence in Larry, and you know, I'm sure a lot of the major decisions Kevin talks about with Herb, of course, because that's where the money is. But he talks them through with Larry Bird to make sure that, you know, that they're sound. If there's some holes in the thought process, those guys tend to work it out. But Larry is not any longer a day-to-day in the organization. But I knowing Larry, I know Larry well enough to know he's still involved.
Well, you mentioned that there's this idea of kind of seeing which of these guys the Pacers want to keep and want to continue to build around. Do you feel like this group has earned its keep, so to speak?
Oh, I don't think there's any question about it. I mean, it becomes down to a contractual thing then. Some guys have player options, so they can make some decisions. But I think, all in all, when you look at the players brought in, that anybody would be satisfied with what you have. Because I think, Amy, you would know this, and I'm sure your listeners know as well. When the trade was made, when Paul George just made it clear that he wasn't going to re-sign with the Pacers,
right?
Then at that point, you've got to go get the best deal you can get. Well, Kevin Pritchard and his team went out and got Victor Oladipo, who had been traded from Orlando, along with the rights to Domantas Sabonis, to Orlando. Well, they played, to Oklahoma City. So they played there. And they played in a style that was a little difficult, I think, for both of them, because Westbrook was having a historic year, and it didn't necessarily work out for those guys. So when they got with the Pacers prior to all of that, they got themselves in really good shape, which I thought was the first thing and a great, great sign for guys in their preparation to try to have success. And once they did that, they learned some things in their previous stop, and I think both of them brought that to the Pacers with an understanding how to play and compete at this level, and it's been beneficial, I think, for the players, but for the team as well.
Quinn Buckner is a longtime NBA guard and now a VP of communications and the TV analyst for the Indiana Pacers. So fresh off of game 4 between the Cavs and the Pacers in Indiana, it's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. What was the atmosphere like? It seemed like the crowd was good, but it's always hard to tell on TV.
Pacer fans, they're fanatics. That's what a fan is. They're very good fans. They were, you know, pulling for the guys. They were supporting them, you know, in difficult times. And it was. It got quite loud. And it's nice that the place got that loud, because I'm not sure anybody thought this. When the trade was made, you know, people were looking at the Pacers, and all of the pundits were saying somewhere in the neighborhood of between 32, maybe 35 games. This team won 48 games. Mm. And you had to gain some loyalty from some people. But at the end of the day, when you've got people that play hard, play the right way, do the right things in terms of the community and others, then you've got something that's really good. And I think that's what the Pacers want to build on.
You have extensive playoff experience yourself when you were in the NBA. You also coached. What changes when you get to the postseason?
Intensity, because everybody knows every possession matters. It's 82 games is hard. It's hard to be able to sustain it at a high level. So you have to figure out the highest level you can sustain it at and try to and play 82 games. Now, when you get into playoffs, there is only one way to play. If you're playing with trying to, you know, get through the game, you're going to get beaten. And so the intensity picks up. And it picks up not only I mean, I think it picks up now, and it'll be a really intense game in Cleveland on Wednesday. But whomever gets to the next round is going to find it picks up. LeBron is very familiar with that, having gone to seven finals. But the round after that and then the finals, it's the intensity level for it, the scrutiny of it all, makes it a difficult thing for some people to handle. And that's why you see some teams have more success than others.
So what do you remember about your championship run?
I remember we were, in this stage, I say we were arrogant, but we were arrogant about how good we were. And we were, and that's a positive in the sense that if you're really good, you're stubborn about how good you are. And when things are seemingly are getting out of control, you find ways to win. One of our motto, actually, from ML Carr is don't be denied. And that's the way we went about it. We weren't going to be denied. We had the best player in the game at that time. Larry was, you know, in his run of three MVPs. So you got – you got. And now, as you're looking back on the team, Danny Ainge is, you know, obviously doing a heck of a job as the head of basketball for the Celtics. But he was a good player. Robert Parrish was a really good player. I mean, these guys, Dennis Johnson, Kevin McHale, Cedric Maxwell. I mean, these are good players. I mean, all those guys – Danny, the only reason he doesn't have his jersey hung is because right now he gets to make that decision and he won't get it. But, you know, four out of five of the starters are in the Hall of Fame. So I remember playing with a really good, some really good guys on a heck of a team. And when you do that, you got a chance to have success.
And no doubt it wasn't just this girl who was falling in love with basketball, because that was my time, those 80s, when I was falling in love with the game. It's so great to talk
to you. Thank you very much, David. Good talking to you, too.
That's so true. That's when I cut my teeth. I mean, that's the reason why I love basketball, but it's also the reason why I'm in this job. I mean, that was where it all started, was 80s NBA and Larry Bird. So cool to hear Quinn Buckner talk about his former teammate. And of course, he is an Indiana man. You can find Quinn on Twitter, easy, at Quinn Buckner, the VP of Communications and the TV analyst on Fox Sports Indiana for these Pacers, who are now locked in a battle with the Cavs at two games apiece. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. With some great news, there's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. No joke. I'm not lying about this. I just paid my Geico car insurance today. It's due this week, my six-month premium. And so I paid it online. It was very easy. I got a confirmation. Boom. And yes, it does save me money. Princess Leia is insured by Geico. So you can find us on the phones. You can find us on Facebook now. What's the game seven that you most want to see? Saul says on Twitter, there's a lot of good battles like the Raptors and the Wizards. Oh, yeah. We'll talk about that series coming up. Michael says the Leafs versus the Bruins, hashtag go Leafs go. Yeah, there's two left in hockey. There are seven left in hoops. We have a lot to choose from, a lot of potential. After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.